some sort of generic questions first, and then we'll get into the C-shaped house. So, okay. Hello, Mr. Keeble. What do you do?
I do lots of different things. I wear lots of different hats. I started out by being an earth builder with just one type of earth building method called rammed earth. And I started out in Africa and I did that for quite a few years. And then I came back to the UK. And now I still do the same thing, but in the UK. But then I've just been to Rwanda looking at a job there. So the Africa thing goes on. And I am also very involved in and was a founder of Earth Building UK, which is everything to do with all different types of earth building technology. And and so I'm kind of involved in that, which means working with European partners to write training standards and running an annual event here, a conference, and a which we call Clayfest, so a week-long festival, all kinds of different things.
And why do you do it?
It started out because it was about developing economy, thinking about developing economies, and that things like cement, although they cost the same in dollars wherever you are in the world, in many places in developing economies, people couldn't afford cement. So we started thinking about earth. And then as time went on, we began to see that the flip side of that money conversation with cement was actually to do with environment, was to do with cement having enormous environmental impacts. So when I came back and started working in the UK, people didn't really care about the money. Bag of cement, no problem. But when you started talking about sustainability, then you kind of could get their attention. So now it's a bit of both. The work in Rwanda is also about the money and also about sustainability.
All right, so the work in Africa is to help Africans save money, and the work in Europe is for sustainability reasons.
Largely, although in this country, sometimes we're cheaper and sometimes we're more expensive. It's not always more expensive here, or always the same price, or always cheaper. That's a bit of a moving target. And in Africa, some of the clients are thinking more about sustainability and less about money. So it's not all one thing or all the other, but that's kind of where it started. And then it kind of moved, because in the mid 80s, people really weren't thinking very much about sustainability at all. Whereas, you know, then by the end of the 90s, that conversation had moved a bit.
Okay, so if you cast your mind back to a conversation we had on a course many years ago at Redfield Community,
yeah,
I remember you said about this C-shaped house, open to the south, glass, straw bale insulation, no heating required. And I thought, my God, I was always swore I was going to look into that more, and I never did, and so that's what I'm doing now. Yes, so where can we start? Is that true? Could you build those houses which don't require heating?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So can you describe that kind of building a bit more?
I mean, really, this is a very short conversation, because there are these guys called Passive House and Passive House Trust, and in a way, that's what they're talking about, and they've been talking about for a long time.
Rammed earth. Rammed earth.
No, I mean, but the point about Passive House is that it's just science. They don't say they're nothing to do with materials, except that the materials have particular qualities. So, and where they started was about insulation and just talking about insulation. And they didn't say you've got to use this sort of insulation or you've got to use that insulation. They just said, as long as it meets this sort of requirement, then we don't care what sort of insulation you use. And
can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So is the Passive House design this same kind of C shape, open on the south, thick walls, then insulation and glass on the front? Is it the same kind of thing?
Not exactly, because they make all kinds of compensations for whatever crazy design you want. So if you decide that all of your windows are going to face north and you're in the northern hemisphere,
that would be crazy.
Then what they'll say is, okay, but then you've got to make, you know, so much more insulation like this, and so they'll try and compensate for the way that you're designing. Now, the flip side of that is that you say, oh, I want to design a passive house and it's going to be facing south. And then they'll start talking about shading the windows because...
too hot in the summer.
It's too hot. Now, this has changed a bit, and there's now something called passive house package... what's it called? PHPP, passive house planning package 9, which says... I don't know if it's gone beyond 9, but that was the last conversation that I had. And PHPP 9 says that the inclusion of mass into a building can significantly improve the energy and comfort use in the building, something like that. So little by little, they're catching up. And what I think that they mean by significantly improve is that instead of saying I'm going to shade the heat out, it means I'm going to capture the heat inside. And the only way that we have for capturing heat effectively is the use of mass. And so that's where back to Einstein and E equals MC squared. Energy and mass are tied together, right? And so if you want to capture energy, like heat energy, then the only way you can really do it is through mass.
So your kind of design would fit in with the passive house principles perfectly, and your idea of mass would be round Earth,
for instance. But one of the things about being part of Earth Building UK Ireland is that I'm getting, number one, older, and number two, much less prescriptive. Okay? So if you want to do it in Adobe, knock yourself out. If you want to do it in Cobb, fantastic. If you want to do it in Wattle and Daub, that's brilliant. The main thing is that you're using very, very low emissions to produce a structure using earth, which you're also using as part of your heating and cooling.
Right. So this is what I want to ask. So this sort of natural materials, is the passive house design largely sort of non-natural materials?
Well, that's what, as I say, where they started, they said, well, we're just science and we're just going to talk about insulation. And the earlier discussion about mass was, and you really don't want mass. All you want is insulation, plus draft proofing.
So if they didn't have the mass, where would their heating come from? Body heat.
So if they didn't have the mass, so our heating doesn't come from the mass.
It comes from the sun. But you know, but you know, if they didn't have any heat to capture the mass, if they didn't have any mass to capture the heat. Yeah. Then release back.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with basic principles then. That's what we should have started with. That's because I sort of know the principles, but most people won't know the principles.
Right.
This C-shaped house, what's the principles of heating it if it doesn't require any heating?
So it came from a drawing which I used to do on every course that we ever did, which was 4 C-shaped houses. And each one of them was identical in that it had a south-facing triple glazed window. And then the first one had loads and loads of insulation. And then what happens is that sun comes up in the morning, shines through the window. Heat is then trapped inside this highly insulated box, which is the classic passive house model. Air temperature rises. And it then has to be extracted using mechanical means or opening a window in order to, because the air temperature is now uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. So then when the sun goes...
You're talking summer, not winter.
Well, I mean, the sun does also come up in the winter. But the other thing about having loads and loads of insulation is that humans, I mean, depending on who you're sort of reading, humans... give off 60 or 80 watts of heat just by being human. And then we have a cooker, and we have a computer, and we have a television,
fridge,
various other things. And then we have kids, you know, and they also give off, and so on and so on. So there are all of these things which give off heat, and which, you know, is measurable. And if you're really serious about holding heat, that at a certain point things start to become uncomfortable, because, you know, the old school light bulbs and things like halogens give off a lot of heat. And if you really insulated hard, then you can overheat a space indoors, winter or summer. Now, in the northern hemisphere where we are, as far, you know, then in the summer, then we're using less electric light because early is, you know, the sun comes up earlier in the day and it goes down later in the evening and all of that. Whereas in winter, we're using more because there's less light. There are all of these variable things that are happening. But the sun does come up in the winter, and it is a resource which, depending on where you are, you can think about as being more or less useful.
So the way I saw, tell me if this is wrong. So the way I saw it, in the summer, the sort of the thick mass walls absorb the heat and sort of take it out of the air. So it makes it comfortable. And yeah. Also you can open all the bloody windows and you can let the heat escape.
Yeah.
And in the winter, exactly, you know, the sun's lower, it goes like that across the south, and then again the mass heats up and you keep all your windows closed and your insulation tight, and then it leaches that heat back out again slowly to keep you warm. Is that sort of right?
And what's fabulous about the sun is its predictability. You know, it comes up in the morning and it goes down in the evening, or it gets light in the morning and it gets dark in the evening. So, yeah. So if you have like a spell of really sunny weather in January, and you've got all of this light and heat coming in, then you're capturing it in your mass. But you're not overheating and then thinking, oh, I need to open the window, because you're capturing it in the mass. And then capturing it in the mass means that you have this lag time between one day and the next, one week and the next. So
one week and the next. So it can hold the heat for weeks and let it out slowly.
Well, it's that, you know, that's all about managing the design. And so nowadays there are these guys called building physicists, and they can begin to model and calculate this sort of stuff. And, you know, because obviously the C-shaped house that you're talking about is an ideal, right? It's but then someone's going to say, oh, but I want 3 bedrooms, or I want 8 bedrooms, or I want 1 bedroom, or I want to, you know, so. That there's a lot of different variables that you have to think about, but the basic point that I was making was that there's these 4 different types. There's one that's pure insulation, and there's one that's pure mass. And the mass captures sunlight coming in, but then it can leak out because there's no insulation on the outside. And then there's the classic British sort of thing where you have bricks on the outside and insulation on the inside. So effectively that's back to looking like the insulation house.
That's sort of back to front, isn't it?
What's that?
That's sort of back to front. You need the mass
back to front.
But it
kind of comes out of a culture which says houses are made of brick and they should look like brick houses. And then you've got the fourth type, which is the one that I was talking about, where you've got the mass walls internally. And that means that with the insulation on the outside, you're not having to puncture through the insulation in order to fix the roof or fix the first floor or do any of those things. Because all of that mass which is holding up the roof is indoors. And the insulation is outside of that. And you know, we always sort of say to students, a quick sort of thought experiment is, what happens when you get into bed and you lie on top of the duvet. You know, you are the mass and the duvet's underneath you. And the answer is, well, you get colder, right? And then if you are the mass and you lie under the duvet, then you stay warmer, because that's where the duvet is supposed to be. It's supposed to be over the top of you. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the same as it is for buildings.
And I know you're an earth builder, but are you saying that the ideal materials would be rammed earth and straw bale, because they're natural? And
I'm saying that's I really like that, but then people will say, hold on a minute, that's really thick walls.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't got the space for that. So then now we have to think about other models, but the basic model is one about mass and insulation. It's about mass and insulation. So mass, you could see it as, you could see, if you had enough of it, you could see it as insulation, because it takes so long for the heat to get from one side to the other. But then people are going to say, yeah, but those walls are too thick. So now we sort of think about mass as being like a buffer, because it holds heat, but it's always in movement. It takes it in, it slows it down, and then it comes back out again. And you control which side of that mass that it comes out of. It comes out on the inside, or it comes out on the outside. If you can get it to come out on the inside, then you've got this massive buffer. So that's the sort of sense of, and then, you know, obviously we know that straw bale is a very good insulator, and we know that rammed earth makes a lot of mass. So that they're a match made in heaven, except for the fact that, you know, they make thick walls.
But if you've got a small holding or something, you've got plenty of space around your house, then
that's not the issue. That's not the issue.
What's so the issue?
But we've been talking with the Green Party in Newham in East London, because they're trying to get a percentage of more like mass housing built, and then we're sort of saying, you know, you could think about mass and insulation in this way. You could think about straw bale, but I know as the conversation goes along that we're going to be talking more about wood fiber insulation and probably manufactured mud blocks, because of all of those reasons.
Because of space reasons.
Because of space.
But if you had a small hold and space wasn't an issue, are you saying that rammed earth and straw bale would be ideal because space isn't an issue?
Yeah. And of course, you can mix all of these things up, and you can, you can add some adobe walls in here because actually you want a thinner wall between the bathroom and the bedroom, or, you know, the, or whatever it is, and all those kinds of things. It's not like you have to, this isn't a kind of, you've got to have this or die. It's just, but as a starting point, putting those two things together. So the first time that we did that was for a community in Essex on the Essex coast. And they're only using their buildings for sort of 3 days at a time, maybe up to a week at a time. And then they'll go away and it's all off grid. So what they wanted was buildings that they could come back to in the middle of the winter or in the middle of the summer and know that they're relatively comfortable to walk into. They're not coming into a freezing ice cube that they've got to now try and figure out how to warm up when they're off grid.
So let me just come back to that Essex coast thing. Okay, so now let's talk about the Essex coast thing. So does that work?
Do they not? And that's pretty effective. You know, that's like a real hard case, because if you're living in a place, then of course you're warming it up and you're using it and you're cooking in it and all of that.
So it's a community of holiday homes. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's actually a religious community.
Okay. I remember these people. I think they came to Redfield.
They did. Three of them came. That's correct.
Yeah.
And the weekend before, they'd done the straw bale course, and the weekend after, they did the something else course.
That's right. They did various courses. They wanted to go completely low impact.
That's right.
What's the name of that community?
Athona.
Athona, that's it. Yeah, I remember.
ONA. And there's two communities. There's one down in Dorset, and then there's the one in Essex. And I don't know how much communicating they do, but basically all the communication I had was with the people in Essex.
And so has it worked? Do they not need heating in those buildings?
And so you probably need to set up a Skype with them,
okay,
and ask them how it's gone. Because when I last spoke to them, which was 3 or 4 years ago, the main guy, whose name is not in my head at all, I just can't remember, came up to me at a construction show, and I said, "How's it going?" And he said, "Really good." But that's not like a more detailed discussion about how it went. But my understanding is that it was modelled at that time by Bill Dunster. So it's not a passive house model. It wasn't passive house modelled, but it was modelled by Bill Dunster. And and so obviously all of these things, you know, there's more work that could be done and more detail that could be worked out and all of that. But the general principle was the one that we've been discussing, round earth and straw.
So if you had a small holding and space wasn't an issue, what's the ideal width of your rammed earth wall?
Well, if let's say we're talking about a single story, which is,
basic,
I mean, it's easier to hand, if you're self-built, we're talking about self-building, are we?
Don't know, just whoever
builds. If you're a small holder, are you employing a builder to do your job? I don't know. Let's say we're talking about self-build small holding, then single story is easier to manage as a self-builder than, you know, obviously for a contractor, two stories, it doesn't really matter. But for self-builder, it's easier to do single story. Then you've got a wall which is, let's say, 300 millimeters thick. And then you've got a straw bale, which is like 450.
It's about 2.5 foot then altogether, the complete thickness of the wall.
So 750.
450 is about 18 inches, isn't it? And 300 mil is about a foot, isn't it?
It's a foot. So, yeah.
About 2.5 foot, yeah. Okay.
2 and a bit foot, yeah.
That's quite a big wall, isn't it?
It's quite a big
wall. If you're on a small holding, that's absolutely fine, isn't it?
I mean, so then, yeah, so you're on your small holding, you know, you don't have to worry about space. You've got to think about, you know, internal walls, that maybe you don't want your internal walls as thick as that. So maybe you're using mud brick rather than round earth, or maybe you're using
wattle and daub,
or, you know, some other thing where you're minimizing the wall thickness.
So do you know of any working examples of this kind of building, this rammed earth straw bale building, south facing, open C shape, no heating?
So the Athona building has got a wood burning stove.
Ah.
But I don't know what the usage of that is. Because quite often people light stoves just because it's a kind of comfort thing.
It's cozy, yeah.
They put it in as they built the building. They didn't say, let's wait for a couple of years and see if we need to put it in.
Yeah.
They just put it in. So I don't know. But we've been talking with a guy called Ben Hollerley. Does that mean anything to you?
No.
They've got a company down in Devon called Terra Perma. And they're building straw bale and mass and stuff, but they're all on passive house. So all of their detailing is all passive house, and all their joints are very tight. And
but not the mechanical ventilation.
And so he does a certain amount of mechanical ventilation.
Oh, really?
But they're kind of, you know, they're kind of at the point where they can say, this is a building without any heating. So we know that it can be done. It's, you know, it's just...
So what you're saying is they've done it. They've built these and they've tested them and they're fine in the winter. They don't need any heating.
But that's not with round earth, but that is with some mass.
What's the mass?
So you need to talk to Ben, probably.
Right, okay.
And I can give you his... I can give you his contact, and I'm sure he'd be very happy to talk to you.
Okay, yes, please.
Yeah.
Shall I email you later?
Yeah.
I'm writing things down like an idiot. It's all.
I'm writing things down too.
I don't need to. It's all recording. But oh, you do because she's not recording for you, but I don't. So, any more working examples at all, or is that it? The Athona community and Ben Hollyley.
Yeah, that's. You know, I'm just the guy that people come to when they want an earth wall, and so I don't get to say how thick it's going to be or what the insulation's going to be or any of those things.
In your opinion, up to what latitude could you build a house like this and which wouldn't need heating?
Well, the weird thing is that the further north you go, the more sun you get.
The more sun you get in the winter, yeah. And the not the winter. So I mean, you couldn't heat up the mass in the summer and then have it leach out in the winter, could you?
No.
That's too much of a gap.
It's too much.
What's the maximum gap?
Questions you ask, Dave.
Are they difficult?
I don't know, but I mean, I think you know you. You could be looking at a week.
A week, okay. So that's not going to work very well in January in Norway, is it? Northern Norway.
Well, as I say, in Northern Norway, they also get quite a lot more sun than we do. I mean,
But not in January or December.
There'll
be no sun at all.
Actually, they like although the days are shorter, they do also get more sun.
How do they? Well, less cloud.
Less cloud.
And the sun would be horizontal, wouldn't it? So the heat would be the light would be coming straight into you through your windows and heating up the wall.
Yeah.
Whereas it would be more overhead in the summer. So, yeah.
That's right.
In the roof rather than the glass.
That's right.
Okay, I've got you.
So in this whole sort of scenario, then you finesse it by putting a green roof on. Because actually, mass stops heat better than anything else. So, you know, 100, 150 mil of soil will work much better for keeping out the summer sun off the top of your roof. I mean, of course, you will have insulation underneath that because you're trying to keep heat in the winter. But then on top of that, you have some soil and it works much better at blunting that summer heat.
Okay, so the big question is, I mean, we must, if this is the case, we must waste so much unnecessary energy on heating. Why aren't more houses built like this? In fact, why aren't all houses built like this?
I think that, you know, bit by bit, things are changing. And actually, the whole passive house thing has been very interesting because I think that, a lot of people, including myself, thought, this is never going to catch on because British people just are really
bricks and mortar kind of people.
Bricks and mortar kind of people, and they're really happy and patriotic to sign up with British Gas, and isn't that all much cleaner than coal was, and it'll all be fine kind of thing. But actually, it turns out that Passive House and Passive House Trust is being incredibly successful in changing the terms of the conversation.
So have they also been successful in getting houses built which don't require heating?
They have. And so then the difficult next bit is retrofit, because we've got masses of crappy housing.
Right, but for new houses, really, all new houses should be built like this, shouldn't they? All if it's possible to build a house that doesn't require heating, then why would you build any other kind of house?
And the last Labour government said that all houses will be built like this by 2016.
And as long as you vote for a Labour government.
Right. So I know that, you know, politically, you know, there's some thing about whether politics does anything for anybody, but...
No, but listen, Jeremy Corbyn said he would double the size of the cooperative economy if he got elected, so he'll do for me.
Okay, so, and then, you know, they did make this commitment, and they and it was also in part driven by what's happening in Europe and the conversations that's happening in Europe. But now we don't have to care about Europe, and we don't have to care about anything. So, who knows?
So, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but how many of the new houses that are being built, I mean, retrofitting is obviously a completely different subject, but how many of the new houses that are being built are being built like this?
You probably need to talk to Passive House Trust.
I was just going to ask that. Do you know anybody I could talk to there?
Well, they're sort of linked to the AECB. If you go onto the AEC website, which I haven't for quite a long time.
Is that Peter, what's his name?
Andy Simmons is the person that I had Andy the Simmons. Strongest connection to. But I'm not sure where that is all now, because I've been paying more attention to EBUKI and less to ACB.
Uh-huh. Okay, so if I try and contact Andy Simmons or somebody at AC, is it Peter Warm? Oh, I don't know.
Peter Warm.
Warm. Was it? Wasn't he involved with the that book called? That book called, it was really, really good. The Green Building Bible.
Cindy, what's her name?
Cindy? Okay.
Is that the one that Kat did?
No, it was AECB.
Oh, that was AECB.
Anyway, never mind. I'll try and contact somebody at AECB and try and...
Well, I mean, the first thing is to just look at the AECB website, and there are all of these links to Passive House and Passive House Trust.
Right.
So it may be that is a, you know, is to try and have a chat with those guys.
Okay. What do you think the barriers might be to building houses like this?
Cost.
Cost? You think it's more expensive to have a... Well, you're going to save in the long run and no heating bills.
Of course. But, you know, we built a series of passive house classrooms, local authority classrooms. And the lady from East Sussex County Council... We said, after we'd done the first one and it had all these kind of, you know, rainwater harvesting and all these other things, and we said, how about that on this next lot? And she said, oh, no, there's not enough money for that.
Too expensive.
And then we said, but that's going to save you money. The council at money over time. She said, yeah, but I'm the capital cost person.
Right. Okay.
If you want to have that conversation, you've got to have with the person down the corridor who pays the bills, you know.
Well, they can't talk to each other, obviously.
That, you know, that's not how this works, Dave. So I think a lot of this, if you're asking me, you know, what's stopping it, what's stopping people? What's stopping people is, yeah, it's a little bit more expensive. Why is it a little bit more expensive? Because not everything's always done like this. If everything so was always
the done non-standard, like this, it's the non-standard nature of it that makes it expensive.
You know, and oh, I got to think about this because the last one I did, we just pop some concrete blocks together and, you know, and got a bit of spray foam stuff and stuffed it in between the window and the thing. And that was great. And everyone went, yeah, great. And, you know, if I've got to now think about this and this and this, well, we're having a different sort of conversation. But if everyone turned up with their van and their bucket ready to do that, then of course it would change the economics of this conversation.
Right. So we need to train builders and spread the word and educate people. And
that's why I'm involved in Earth Building UK and Ireland. And we've made a national vocational qualification, which covers earth building.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to give eBuck a good plug then.
Because eBuckEye has...
eBuckEye, sorry.
It's got the NVQs and the National Occupational Standard. It's all online for free, and you've got all the European standards upon which all of that is based, and it's all online for free.
What's the carrot? What's the carrot for drawing in builders to this?
Well, one of the carrots is that if you're doing sort of conservation work, then you've got to, and the money for retrofit is sort of linked to funding and whatever, then the builders have to have something called a CSCS card. And they can't get a CSCS card for something like cob buildings unless they've got a qualification, a level 3 qualification, right? So they've got to come and get a level 3 qualification if they want the CSCS card, if they want to get onto that kind of build, that kind of retrofit. So then you say, well, there's not many cob buildings around, but then we've done a bit of mapping to show that in the last 12 years, 8,000 cob buildings have sold between Hampshire and Cornwall.
In the geographical area between those two counties.
And those are the ones that are sold. And all the ones next to them that haven't been sold are the ones next to them. And we're trying to work out how the hell to count them all up.
But well, there could be getting on for a million.
I don't think it's a million, but you know, there's a lot of them, and they're dotted about all over the shop. And if people had a little bit more sense of the fact that there are lots of people living in these places, and you know, they could stick a load of straw bales up the north's face and do something else around the sides. And
they've usually got a few bob, haven't they? People living in cob cottages.
Well, I've just been working with a guy who's completely uninterested in the whole conversation, but does live in a cob cottage. No, he's not minted, but you know, you sort of say to him, well, add your blooming energy bill up for the last 4 years. Yeah. What does that come to? But we've got to engage people because it's like
crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So individuals need to sort of wake up to the fact that for a bit of extra expense up front, they can save on their heating bills for years or forever.
Forever. I mean, that is that you never regret insulation. You know, you just put it on and then you kind of go away and forget about it.
Yeah.